Flourish. A Visionary New Understanding of Happiness and Well-being. Author, Martin E.P. Seligman. Your happiness is created by your action. Aristotle thought that all human action was to achieve happiness. Nietzsche thought that all human action was to get power, while Freud thought that all human action was to avoid anxiety. All these giants made the grand mistake of monism, in which all human motives come down to just one. Of these monisms, Aristotle's view was the closest to reality, that everything we do is done in order to make us happy. But we actually detest the word happiness, which is so overused that it's become almost meaningless. It's an unworkable term for science or for any practical goal, such as education, therapy, public policy, or just changing your personal life. The first step in positive psychology is to dissolve the monism of happiness into more workable terms. Much more hangs on doing this well than a mere exercise in the semantics. Understanding happiness requires a theory, and here's the theory. The original theory, authentic happiness. The theory of authentic happiness is that happiness could be analysed into three different elements that we choose for their own sakes: positive emotion, engagement, and meaning. Each of these elements is better defined and more measurable than happiness. The first is positive emotion, what we feel. Pleasure, rapture, ecstasy, warmth, comfort, and the like. The second element is engagement. It's about flow, being one with the music, time stopping, and the loss of self-consciousness during absorbing activity. In flow, we merge with the object. Concentrated attention that flow requires uses up all the cognitive and emotional resources that make up thought and feeling. The third element is meaning. Human beings want meaning and purpose in life. The meaningful life consists in belonging to and serving something that you believe is bigger than the self. From authentic happiness to well-being. There are three inadequacies in authentic happiness theory. The first is that the dominant popular connotation of happiness is inextricably bound up with being in a cheerful mood. Positive emotion is the rock-bottom meaning of happiness. Critics cogently contend that authentic happiness theory arbitrarily and preemptively redefines happiness by dragging the desiderata of engagement and meaning to supplement positive emotion. Neither engagement nor meaning refers to how we feel, and while we may desire engagement and meaning, they are not and can never be part of what happiness denotes. The second is that life satisfaction holds too privileged a place in the measurement of happiness. Happiness is authentic happiness theory is operationalized by the gold standard of life satisfaction. A widely researched self-report measures that asks on a 1 to 10 scale how satisfied you are with your life. The goal of positive psychology follows from the gold standard to increase the amount of life satisfaction on the planet. It turns out, however, that how much life satisfaction people report itself is determined by how good we feel at the moment we are asked the question. Averaged over many people, the mood you're in determines more than 70% of how much life satisfaction you report. And how well you judge your life to be going at that moment determines less than 30%. The third inadequacy in the authentic happiness theory is that positive emotion, engagement, and meaning do not exhaust the elements that people choose for their own sake. It's the operative phrase. Be a basic element in a theory, what you choose must serve no other master. Many people live to achieve just for achievement's sake. The well-being theory. Well-being is the construct, and well-being, not happiness, is the topic of positive psychology. Well-being has five measurable elements, perma, that count towards it. Positive emotion. It remains a cornerstone of well-being theory, although with two crucial changes. Happiness and life satisfaction, as subjective measures, are now demoted from being the goal of the entire theory to merely being one of the factors included under the element of positive emotion. Engagement. It remains an element. Positive emotion and engagement are two categories in well-being theory where all the factors are measured only subjectively. Positive relationships. Very little that is positive is solitary. When was the last time you laughed uproariously? The last time you felt indescribable joy? The last time you sensed profound meaning and purpose? All of them took place around other people. Meaning. Belonging to and serving something that you believe is bigger than the self. Meaning has a subjective component, and so it might be subsumed into a positive emotion, Recall that subjective component in a dispositive for a positive emotion. Achievement, accomplishment, winning, achievement, and mastery for own sakes. Not one element defines well-being, but each contributes to it. Some aspects of these five elements are measured subjectively by self-report, but other aspects are measured objectively. What is flourishing? The definition of flourishing is in the spirit of the well-being theory. An individual must have all of the core features which are positive emotions: engagement, interest, meaning, and purpose, and the three of the six additional features, which are self-esteem, optimism, resilience, vitality, self-determination, and positive relationships. Beyond money. What is wealth for? I believe it should be in the service of well-being. But in the eyes of the economists, wealth is for producing more wealth, and the success of policy is to be measured by how much added wealth it produces. The dogma of economics is that gross domestic product, the GDP, tells us how well a nation is doing. At the time of the Industrial Revolution, economic indicators were a very good approximation of how well a nation was doing. Meeting simple human needs for food, shelter, and clothing was chancy, and satisfying those needs moved in lockstep with more wealth. The more prosperous society becomes, however, the worse approximation wealth is to how well the society is doing. Basic goods and services, once scarce, became so widely available that in the 21st century, many economically developed nations experience an abundance, perhaps an overabundance, of goods and services, because simple needs are largely satisfied in modern societies. Factors other than wealth now play an enormous role in how well these societies are doing. The divergence between GDP and well-being. Gross domestic product measures the volume of goods and services that are produced and consumed, and any events that increase the volume increase the GDP. It does not matter if those events happen to decrease the quality of life. Every time there is a divorce, the GDP goes up. Every two automobiles collide, the GDP goes up. The GDP is blind when it comes to whether it's human suffering or human thriving that increases the volume of goods and services. This divergence between well-being and gross domestic product can be quantified. Measures of ill-being have not declined as gross domestic product has increased. They have gotten much worse. Social connectedness has dropped with declining levels of trust in other people and in governmental institutions, and trust is a major predictor of how well-being. Flourish. It's important to remember that well-being is not the only thing we value as human beings. We do not remotely advocate that well-being should be the only influence on public policy. We value justice, democracy, peace, and tolerance, to name a few other distrata that might or might not correlate with well-being. But the future calls us to measure and then make policy around well-being rather than just around money. This measurement will be part of our gift to posterity. More than just meaning flourishing, our gift will more than flourish itself. We underscore the downstream benefits of flourishing. It's all about those downstream effects. When individuals flourish, health, productivity, and peace follow. With this in mind, we now articulate the long mission for positive psychology. By the year 2051, 51% of all people in the world will be flourishing.